The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to October of 1985.
The University of Detroit presents Ask the Professor. The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor. People only knew it was going on right
now. Don't tell.
I won't. The radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWint, and today we have most of our regular panel and a special guest. On my right, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Mary Jo Nichols.
I'm glad to be here, Ann.
We're glad to have you here. On her right, from the School of Education and Human Services and Wayne County Community College, Professor Wallace Peace.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, Mom.
No department will claim him.
That's it.
At least the school does.
On my left, from the Department of Political Science of an unnamed inferior institution in the north, in a different county, Professor John Klemanski.
The opinions you hear are expressed are probably that of... Hi, Ed.
Hi, John.
How are you doing?
And our special guest, sitting between John Klemanski and Wallace Peace, from the Kane & Kane Company of Birmingham, Michigan, returning triumphantly from about a year ago, Mr. Robert Del Valle.
Once again, overjoyed and deeply grateful to be among the most erudite voices on Detroit radio.
Hey, wow. How about that?
Probably the last time any of our voices are heard. But you don't work
now
for the bookstore anymore.
Yeah, what happened?
No longer employed at the Birmingham Bookstore. No, bigger and better things. Well,
they get tired of you reading all those autobiographies while you were working.
Writing questions.
Well, we thought you were still at the bookstore. That's why we invited you. Put away your free book list. You don't get them anymore.
I had all my Christmas shopping list also.
Well, those things happen. Okay, most of the questions you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. If you stump the panel, you get an autographed photograph, a photographed autograph, and a bumper sticker. If you fail to stump the panel, you get a bumper sticker and the photographed autograph. And before we get started, we have a little letter here from Gene Pierce of Pico Rivera, California, who says, "Dear Professor DeWint and the rest of the gang, imagine my surprise when a large envelope arrived with a bumper sticker and the photographed autographs."
She must have sent any questions last year or 2 years ago.
She wanted a book, remember?
Yes, well, that's an old listener. First, may I say that most of you looked as I imagined you would. However, some of you are a little pudgy. I won't name any names, but you know who you are.
Photographs.
I know, and I've been working on it.
The bad developing, I think. That's what it was.
Yes, I should tell her that I've been working out on a rowing machine, and I have hurt myself irreparably in the process. Okay. The biggest disappointment is that I did not get to hear the program when you tackled my questions. I've sent them in twice, so don't even know which were used. Frustrating, isn't it? Well, that's life.
If you're not a regular listener, this is the price you pay.
And the program is received here twice on Sundays at 6:30 a.m. and again at midnight.
Yeah, we're a prime time everywhere. Yeah.
So I can usually manage at least one of them. However, the station does shut down for equipment checks, so that could have been when I missed. I bet it was. They ran the show anyway. They were off the air, but they ran the show. That's the story of our life. I'm sure you don't have any reruns or repeats. No, we certainly don't. And nobody repeats this show.
No, it's not worth it.
I tape every episode.
Well, so do I.
Right,
I send copies to my father.
Kane and Kane. Yeah.
I shall keep on enjoying you all when I can. Thanks for one of the best programs on radio. Sincerely, Gene Pierce.
My
goodness. Thank you very much.
The copy has been sent to the FCC.
Really?
That's right. Okay, well, it's nice to start off that way. Now we'll pick up where we left off on our last program with a set of questions from Eugene Armata of
Utica, New York.
That's why you got it on. It's all set here. And we were in the midst of a whole series of running all over the place type questions. Eugene Armata type questions. Name the French fur trader who founded Detroit.
Cadillac.
That's right, Cadillac.
1701.
My gosh.
Is that the next question?
I hope it is.
Give us a bonus point for that one.
Yeah. What that year did he found the city of Detroit?
1701.
Oh, very good, Clemansky. I knew you would get that one. Yes.
Yeah. I have a great memory. I thought you could even put the date. Isn't it July something, too? I
mean, yeah, it's the only probably city July.
Del Valle, what's the date?
Yes, I was 10 years old, and there was a big
when
parade.
When it happened? In 1701?
No, I was not 10 years old in 1701.
I was.
I thought you were reminiscing. Anyway, go on.
Who established France's claim to the Mississippi Valley and Louisiana?
LaSalle.
That's right. LaSalle. I was going to say his
Cadillac
name was
LaSalle,
also the name of
cars.
A car. That's
yeah,
right.
All of them.
Right.
What university has one of the oldest continuing medical schools in the world? It was founded in 1222. Galileo was once a professor, and Copernicus was once a student.
Is this a car also?
DeSoto. No, it is not a car. It is not a car. We're off cars.
Okay.
Padua.
Padua.
That's right. That's right. Very good.
We look good today.
Don't tell you. Thank God he came. Nobody's getting a present.
Nobody's getting a photograph today.
We didn't give any photos last week.
That's
and
right.
And 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
but it was a struggle.
It was a struggle.
That's right. What president's son was present at the assassination of three presidents?
You're kidding.
I know. Oh, don't invite this kid over.
Don't put him on the show.
No.
Well, it must have been in the late 1800s and early 1900s.
That's right.
Was it Lincoln's son?
That's right.
Robert Lincoln.
It was Robert Lincoln.
He was there for all three of them?
Yes.
Wow.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I bet his biography is interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
He was Secretary of War in Garfield's administration.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. I always wondered what happened to those children.
Yeah, now we know.
Now we know.
Yeah.
He was dodging bullets.
Yeah.
Basically.
Who was the blonde bombshell whose face was the first female to make the cover of Life magazine?
Marilyn Monroe.
No.
Harlow.
Long before that.
Oh, Life.
Jean Harlow.
Jean Harlow.
I believe it was Jean Harlow.
That's right.
Wallace, that was wonderful.
Yes, it really was, Wallace.
Sharp as a tack.
But calling her the blonde bombshell, she was actually called the platinum blonde.
That's right.
The incendiary blonde was actually Betty Hutton and
Marilyn Monroe. That's what threw me.
They all had nicknames like Elizabeth Scott, one of your favorite actors.
Oh, yes.
Born Emma Mazzo.
Oh,
really?
Mazzo?
Really? Yeah. Emma Mazzo was her real name, and she was called the threat.
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't understand
that. To acting.
To mankind. To acting.
Serious acting.
Whatever happened to
talent.
Her?
You know, she's never even made any of the Whatever Happened To books.
No, she hasn't. But she did. She made some film about 10 years ago that was shown one night in a dark theater at 2 a.m., I think. You know.
Wallace, how was it?
Well, I was disappointed that I had paid so much to
money.
See
yeah.
Yes, I bet you were. Okay, next question. Who was the only actor of TV, radio, and films to receive a wooden Oscar? Very appropriate that he would get a wooden
Woody
Charlie
Allen.
McCarthy.
No. It wasn't Charlie McCarthy.
Edgar Bergen.
Oh, Edgar Bergen.
Edgar Bergen. That's right.
His alter ego.
See, I thought everyone knew that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What connection did Robert Opel have with the 1974 Academy Awards?
He was the streaker.
He was the streaker.
Oh, was he the streaker?
He was the streaker. That's right.
How about the guy who was in the Emmys and went to pick up an award
he's
for somebody? Who,
that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's
one
a local.
Of our
but, Niven, David
he's
Niven had the last word on that occasion. As you may recall, he said, "The only laugh that gentleman will ever receive is by coming on stage and showing his shortcomings."
That's right.
That is good. That is very good. What famous columnist narrated The Untouchables, which starred Robert Stack?
Oh, Walter Winchell.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South America, all the ships at sea. Flash,
go to
we
press.
Go to press.
What is a printer's devil? A printer's devil.
An inker. Somebody who would...
Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's it. Give the name of either of the symbols used to represent the medical profession throughout the world.
A snake.
Crawling up some something.
Caduceus.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Very good. That's it. Well, Eugene.
Which is it?
Hmm? It's either of those.
Yeah.
Caduceus. Either a snake or a caduceus.
No,
yeah. It's the same thing.
The snake is the staff of Aesculapius, and then the caduceus is the magic wand of Hermes, mm-hmm. You know, the Hermes thing that has the little wings on mm-hmm. it. And
we're talking mythology
and
here.
The staff is usually surmounted by two wings, I believe.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So they've essentially conflated the two into one now.
Now it's an invoice on two wings.
Yes. Yes.
A bill. Yeah.
That's right.
That's absolutely fascinating.
Yes. Well, let's see. You need one, two, three.
That's the Hippocratic Oath. I swear by Apollo and Aesculapius.
Don't read all the Hippocratic Oath because they would ban the show.
Right.
Well, you missed five out of.
No, we didn't.
Many. 32.
Robert Dunn.
That was last week. We missed five.
He beat us.
I think he did. I think Mr. Amada is a winner.
Oh.
He's got so many pictures.
No, he hasn't. I don't think Eugene has actually.
If you wait until October 27th of 1989, go to your mailbox.
No, we have a new producer.
Oh, yes. Thank goodness.
Now, let's get this straight here. But we thank Eugene, and he'll be getting his little gift package in the mail. One of these days. Our next set of questions comes from Melissa White of Kodiak, Alaska.
All right. Wow.
Wow. Send us some pineapples.
A blast from the past.
They grow pineapples there, don't they?
Oh, shut up.
No, Klemanski, they don't.
Yes, they do. Ask Ed.
No, they don't grow
there
pineapples.
There is someone in Kodiak, Alaska who is hearing my voice.
That's
right. At this moment.
That's right.
Well, no, not really.
That's not true. This show is carried something like 17 times a week in Kodiak.
Exactly. You know.
So many moments.
Especially in Kodiak. Yeah. Yes. So if you like one, you can listen.
There is a giant king crab that is listening to us. That's what it is. All right. Melissa White's questions from Kodiak. Mm-hmm. Who is the author of Mrs. Pigglewiggle?
What's her name?
Beatrice
Potter.
No.
Oh, very good. No.
That was it's not Beatrice Potter. That's Piggly Wiggly or something like that.
Yes, that's something.
McDonald's is a grocery store.
Pardon?
McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Yeah,
that's right.
Big chain.
Yeah. That's right. Robert has it.
Weird
McDonald's.
Names down
Betty
south.
McDonald's.
Betty McDonald.
Okay, remember she wrote The Egg and I?
I was going to ask you that.
That's it.
Yes, that's the
Egg and I.
Big
seller was made into a film starring Claudette Colbert and Fred McMurray. That was the last of the Colbert McMurray films.
They never made it as a team, did they?
Yes, they did. Oh, they were wonderful in movies. Oh, I love
it. Not on film, they didn't make it.
Next question, please.
Oh, okay. How many days does it take the moon to travel around the Earth once?
30.
No.
28. 29. Mm-hmm. Around the Earth once?
Yep.
Well, wait a minute now. Is this a trick question?
No, but it's not as many as you think.
13.
More, less than that.
7 days? A week?
It's just a little more than seven.
Eight.
Nine.
7.
Yeah, actually, it's 9.5.
Nine and a half days. Nine. I thought everyone knew that.
You're doing so well, panel. We've already lost our guest observer.
Yeah.
I think Ms. McDermott. Well, no, she didn't. She's hiding.
She's sleeping.
She's sleeping, yes. Who is the author of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Dick Van Dyke.
No.
He was
Ian
in
Fleming.
It.
Ian Fleming.
Come on.
That's right. Mr. Del Valle comes through again. Yeah. That's right. Ian Fleming. Yeah. Who created The Muppets?
Well, Henson.
Yes.
Yeah, Jim Henson.
That's right. I saw a strange movie the other night called Into the Night with Jeff Goldblum, with Jim Henson has a bit part.
Really?
Oh.
He's sitting and he sounds like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, he does. He sounds like Kermit the Frog. Exactly. Strange film. Who was the author of the book called The Riddle of the Sands?
About a desert type of situation?
Well, it isn't really.
Mm. A philosophy.
It was made into a film recently with Michael York. Hmm. It was an awful film, too. Mm-hmm.
Was it Josephine Tay?
No. No, I'll have to give this to you. Erskine Childers.
Mm.
That's one Sarah Gravel would have.
Yeah, no. She would have had that.
She's,
so we'll give us half
read
of that.
Yes. Okay. No, we won't. Now, wait a minute. Had Sarah Gravel been here, we would have gotten it. He wants half for that. I mean, come on, really.
Well,
quarter?
Oh, wow. What did the word skull come from?
Well, a human head.
True, but there's another word.
Really skin or anything.
No, not rowing. There's another word that it comes from. What is the
skullduggery?
The Anglo-Saxon word.
Well, skeleton.
Well, that's close.
Yeah.
It's skull. Skull.
Right.
Skull. Yeah. Which means to your health.
No, it no, means it does. That's scone.
That's scone? That's skull.
That's the one.
If you yell scone, people throw biscuits at you. Right. Come on.
Skull is that chewing tobacco.
Yes, it's
get your story straight here.
Oh.
How much does a Kodiak adult bear usually weigh?
2,000 pounds.
A little high.
3,000 pounds.
No.
A little high.
A little high.
That means you've gone too high.
Oh, yes.
1,500.
Yes, 1,500. Right. Exactly, 1,500.
They are Did I ever tell you about the time I saw the bear in Alaska?
No.
The bear?
Yeah.
Just one, huh?
Yes, I was getting off the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Going into the airport.
Yes.
And I was frightened anyway because I was on the way to the war.
Yes.
And as I walked up the stairs, there facing me was a 10-foot-high polar bear about to attack.
Now, at this point, let's take a break.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor show from October of 1985. We're pleased to bring you these classic shows throughout the summer months, and thank you for listening. Now, let's return to this special edition of Ask the Professor and the conclusion of our story, I hope.
Now, when we left our hero...
Right. That was great, Wallace.
I've never heard anything like that before in my
incredible.
Life.
That's really incredible.
And in Alaska, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay, next question.
Lord. Oh, boy.
I don't know what happened.
I survived.
It's like Wild Kingdom.
And the war, too. Yeah.
What is a zithum? Z-Y-T-H-U-M.
It's a musical instrument.
No, it isn't.
Mm. It's probably the last word in an English dictionary.
Well, it may be, but that's not the answer either.
It's that thing between your nose and your mouth.
No, it isn't that either.
That's your mustache. Yeah. It's not a zithum.
This was something that was made to consume internally by some ancient people.
A drink?
Yes.
An alcoholic beverage?
Well, yes.
As it was.
Yes, it was a malt made by the Egyptians. So I will give you half for that. I don't know why, but
we got all of that. Well, okay, give us half.
No, you didn't. No.
I don't even see how we got half. But I'll take everything I can get.
Who was the 32nd president of the United States?
32nd.
FDR.
Pretty recent. Yeah.
That's right.
Elected in 1932 also.
Oh, that's right.
That's an easy mnemonic device.
Yeah, we'll remember that one.
Mnemonic?
Never mind.
Kings play chess on fine-grained sand. Kingdom, right. Phylum, class, order, family, genus, species.
But you can't remember the other one either.
Who was the third president of the United States?
Thomas Jefferson.
That's right. And who was the 6th vice president of the United States?
Daniel D. Tompkins.
My gosh, he's got it.
How in the world?
Wait a minute.
No. Hey. Miracle on 34th Street. I'm not kidding.
No,
I'm
you
not
know
kidding.
How he remembered that? DDT. Daniel D. Tompkins.
No, listen.
Samantha, that's pitiful.
This is great.
Yes,
in the film
ahead.
Miracle on 34th Street.
He had a walk-on role.
He was
That
dead.
Was the miracle.
It was better than the actual one.
I have to say this. Okay, in Miracle on 34th Street, of course, Edmund Gwenn is an elderly gentleman who believes, who maintains, that he is Santa Claus.
Okay.
And he's talking
with Maureen O'Hara, and Maureen O'Hara tells him, well, before Macy's can employ you, you'll have to take an IQ test.
That's right. And?
He's taken so many of them, apparently, that he knows all the questions. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he says, well, of course, they'll probably ask me who the 6th vice president was. And she looks at him, and then he goes, well, it was Daniel D. Tompkins, and I'll bet your Mr. So-and-so doesn't know that.
That's right.
Of course, he didn't.
Oh. Uh-huh. Pretty good, huh?
Okay.
You even remember the dialogue.
Oh, yes. I adore that film. It is the quintessential Christmas film.
It's coming up again.
Yes, it is. Final question. How do you say yield in Dutch?
Yield.
No, you don't. That's close, Wallace. I'll accept that.
If that's the correct answer, it's great, because my father-in-law is a Surinamer, and he's been trying to teach me to speak some Dutch, but I can't do the
It's not a language, it's a throat disease. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Well, we just lost all of the Dutch reform.
Right. Yes, we did, but we never had them anyway. So who cares? Well, it's actually Opbrengst, but you're close enough. I'll accept that. Okay. Well, Melissa White,
Very good questions.
Very good questions. And we're afraid she didn't stump the panel, but she's going to get the bumper sticker and the photographed autograph. And
that'll be a prized possession up there in the Kodiak.
Oh, really? People will be attacking her car or her parents' car because she's only 12.
Oh.
You mean since she's in Kodiak, Alaska, isn't this the first question we've gotten from there?
I think it is.
Don't you think, since she's just 12,
yes,
that we could
send her the whole package.
The whole package.
Yeah. You're a winner, Melissa.
All right. Melissa, Wallace Peace decided you should get it. Remember
right.
that, all you
and
people.
And let this be a lesson.
That's right. The next time you want somebody to come to Kodiak, remember.
Right. Remember us.
That's right.
Down here.
That's right. We'll
come. I was in Anchorage when the bear was.
Yes, yes. We've heard that story. Okay. Well, Melissa will get her full package, and we thank her very much. And come on, people in Kodiak, send in some more.
Right.
I mean,
man is an island.
Get.
So. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Gosh, all you people in Kodiak that pretend you don't know me anymore. I mean, really? Come on.
He does make a terrible first impression.
I know. I mean, I told you how they knew I was the man from Detroit. I was the only person that got off the plane wearing a suit. They decided this has to,
be him.
The guy, yeah.
And you've never been invited back.
Right. I like that.
Yeah.
And then when I landed on Anchorage on the way back, a long-lost cousin.
Oh, you've been
Anne's,
to Anchorage,
yes,
too?
Oh, yes. A long-lost cousin of Anne's met me at the airport. Mm-hmm.
Then you must have
expecting.
Seen the polar bear.
I certainly did.
Mm-hmm. He's frightening, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the same thing happened. I said to this guy, well, how did you know who I was? And he said, the only guy getting off the plane wearing a suit.
Well, that suit came in handy.
Sure did. Okay, our next set of questions comes from Bertie Bates of Kellogg, Iowa.
Yay!
Hooray!
Bertie Bates?
Yes,
Bertie.
She's a regular.
Do we know Bertie?
Yes, of course we know Bertie.
Oh, good.
She.
Well,
I mean,
Bertie?
She sent questions before.
Well, come on, Bertie.
B.S. Malone.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't heard from B.S. Malone. Eugene Armada's still with us.
Robert Davalier.
That's right. Robert is with us. That's right. On old sailing ships, they used to give the sailors grog. What was grog?
Rum and something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Rum and water.
That's right. Rum and water.
Watered down rum.
That's right. That's what it was. What were the Link Boys of Old London? The Link Boys.
L-I-N-K?
Yes, L-I-N-K. The Link Boys.
Were they criminals?
No, they weren't.
They were doctors.
No, this is... You're
barbers.
Never
they were jailers.
Were they have something to do with the water?
No, they had something to do with the streets at night.
They swept the streets.
No.
They lit the lamps.
That's close enough. They carried torches so people could see their way around. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Okay. What was...
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
We could use some of them nowadays.
Yeah.
What is on my street?
All right. In the 18th century, what was farina used for?
Breakfast.
No. Well, it may have been, but what was it used for other than eating?
A mortar in the house.
No.
Trying
to cement.
Put between bricks.
It has to do with apparel, or
clothing.
At least one's physical appearance.
It was makeup.
Powder?
Powder. Powder. Yeah, especially for powdering wigs. I'll accept powder.
Okay.
What was a bill in hand?
Is worth two in the
bush.
No, that's a bird.
A birdie in the hand.
No.
A bill in hand.
A bill in hand.
Maybe
is...
it's what the president signs or doesn't
sign.
What
would we call a bill in hand today? This is an old term again. I'll give you a bill in hand for that.
What I have in my pocket.
I owe you money, a promissory note?
I have a
you.
Promissory note. It's... long beyond the promissory note stage.
It's a debt.
No, it's
a payment.
Paid it, a receipt?
You're paying it. It's a check.
Oh.
It's a check.
Oh, okay.
It's payment for services rendered.
Yes. It was called napery in the old days. What was it?
It was a store that sold scarves.
No, but you're getting there.
Barbershop.
No, it's not a store. It's a term for a particular household item.
A razor.
No, no. You were right when you were thinking of things like scars. Mm. You're in the right category.
A collar, a necktie.
No, now move away from wearing apparel and think of something big that would go on an article of furniture.
Big, slipcover.
Well, not that kind of article of furniture.
A pillow.
Something you'd find in the dining room.
A dining room table. A tablecloth.
A tablecloth.
Oh, okay.
Tablecloth. That's right.
Yeah. Mm.
They also liked rashers, too. What's a rasher?
Bacon.
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 Fork.
That's right.
Yeah, fork.
That's right.
It's a unit of bacon.
Yeah. Yes. How did they protect themselves against yellow fever? back in the 18th century. How did people protect themselves?
Not very well.
Not very well, yes.
They immigrated.
Yes, well, that's a good one, too.
Very
yes.
good. They leached themselves.
No, I'll have to give you this. They soaked handkerchiefs in camphor.
I was going to say kerosene. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did it work?
And then what?
I don't. Then they ran around inhaling this.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they talk about cigarettes.
I could use that.
Yeah, really? Oh,
clean out those sinuses.
What was the name of the main thoroughfare in London in the days of Charles II?
Main Street.
No.
Charles II. Was it a French name, a Latin name,
no,
Roman name?
It was originally a British name.
British
it was Latinized name. And then became a very common English term. I mean, not common, but I mean, it's a term you hear in London all the time now.
Big Ben.
Tube.
Big Ben's on it.
Thames.
That's right.
Oh, Thames.
You're kidding.
The Thames. That's right. That's right.
Oh, that's right. The river.
That's right.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the river.
Yes. Yes.
See, Klemanski, I told you I would get one of
now,
these.
Now, here's a question. Why does the Thames become the Isis as it passes through Oxford?
You know, that's a good question. I've never known the answer to that, but you're right, it does. It's still the same river, but it changed its name.
They
well, you
to be
know
more
here, Big Beaver Road becomes Quarton. East Quarton.
Right. Yes.
So it's the same principle.
Yes.
And Jefferson becomes Biddle
that's
and Wyandotte.
Right. That's right. That's right.
But Outer Drive stays Outer Drive.
Yes. Yeah.
Next
and
question.
And the main road in Ramsey in the 14th century was Bridge Street, High Street, Huntingdon Way, the King's Road, and the Common Street.
Depending on
where you were.
Depending on the scribe writing in the court rolls.
Oh.
In the olden, people were excited about that one, I can tell.
I know I was.
Yes. In the olden times, they were always referring to ladies wearing their first water diamonds. What did that mean?
Pearls.
No?
No?
That's a good guess,
That was a
though.
Good guess,
That's a good
yeah.
guess.
I like
that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Water diamonds.
First water diamonds.
Oh, first water.
First diamonds. Water mm-hmm. diamonds.
Now, I'll tell you, it does refer to diamonds, but what kind of diamonds? First water diamonds.
That's polished.
Mm. That's close. Now that's, you're getting close. It has something to do with the way they appear, that's for sure.
Set diamonds?
Not set. They could have been set. But
wealthy like.
No.
First water.
I'll have
where
to, they're perfectly pure and transparent.
Mm. Oh. No kidding.
In other words, no facets or anything.
Mm. So.
Very good,
that's
though.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
Oh.
Well, you missed 2 out of 9 there.
So do we win or not?
Well, I don't know. What would be 2/9?
I'll give it to him.
Yeah, Birdie Bates.
Give
she
it to
hasn't
her.
Won in a while. I think we can afford to give Birdie a winning package here.
Yeah.
Did I get any of those right?
Who knows?
Did you try to answer
Listen,
any questions?
I tried.
Yeah.
I really did, but I didn't know the answer to too many.
Our next set of questions comes from Craig Karankiewicz.
Okay, Craig.
Which was really Herbert von Karajan's real name.
Right.
He changed it. He's from Detroit, Michigan, and he says, this is my second time writing to your hilarious program. The first time I sent 10 questions and you answered them all. I'm 15 years old and in the 10th grade.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Here are 10 more questions. Get 80% and you win.
Now, all that's right. 8 questions, Klemanski.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well.
Oh. Oh.
Okay, Craig, hang in there. Right. Just wait till next week. You know, I mean, wait until Dr. Ruth is finished. And
right.
He
and
doesn't
we'll
listen
be,
to that.
I hope not. But anyhow, we'll have to hold these over till next week. And let's...
Thank
like,
the panel.
Thank the panel. That's what I do at this point, isn't it? I thank the panel. It is a new year.
You're welcome.
I'd like to thank Professor Nichols, Professor Peace, Professor Klemanski, and our very special guest, Mr. Robert Del Valle. And now this...
Send your questions to Ask the Professor, care of the Communication Studies Department at University of Detroit Mercy. 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221. Or email them to atp@udmercy.edu. We look forward to reading your questions on Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the E.J. and A.U. Smith Media Center on the University of Detroit campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Tom McParlin. Our technical director is Jim Muir. Executive producer is Vivian Dix. And until next time, this is your host, Edmund DeWitt. Thought I'd say something clever, didn't you?
And I'm Michael Jason. We're back with another classic episode of Ask the Professor next week. So please plan to join us.